Good morning. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2005. If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua. Just by way of introduction, I'd like to just look at one verse. Our text is actually going to be found in the book of Isaiah. But just by way of introduction, I'd like to read a verse from chapter 3. The setting is familiar. We see Israel encamped there at the edge of the Jordan River just before God does that mighty miracle and delivers them across on dry ground. And we see instructions concerning how they're to cross over and how that the ark was to go before them. And we notice there in verse 4, Joshua chapter 3 and verse 4, "Yet there shall be a space between you and it," that is speaking of the ark, "about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore." For ye have not passed this way heretofore. You know, the very same thing could be said about us as we look at the year 2005. We've not passed that way heretofore. We do not know what lies ahead for the year 2005. And I suppose that's a good thing. I'm not sure I would want to know. I'm sure there will be, for some of us, there will be unexpected joys. But I'm equally as sure that there will also be unexpected sorrows. And as we look around the room, we don't know who will experience the joys and who will experience the sorrows or the nature of either one of them. I heard a story one time about a man who said if he could only have one wish, he would wish that he could know the city that he would be in when he died. And his friend looked at him and said, What kind of wish is that? Why would you want to know the city that you're going to die in? He says, well, it's simple. I'd never go there. Well, it doesn't work that way, does it? It's just not quite that simple. All we have to do is look around at our own lives and the lives of those in this auditorium. All we need to do is look at our prayer list on Wednesday night. And we realize in a hurry that life at best is uncertain. Life is uncertain. But you know, if you are a Christian, if you've been genuinely born again, there are some certainties that you can take with you into the year 2005. You see, for example, we understand that God is sovereign. God rules in the affairs of men. Now, this is not some remote, lofty theological doctrine way out there somewhere. This is a very present reality. As Lehman Strauss used to say, God is behind the scenes, controlling the scenes that he's behind. God is sovereign. And when we come to a verse like Romans 8:28, familiar to all of us, we can count on the truth of that. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We can rest confident that God is sovereign and that all things do work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We may not understand it at the moment, But in a coming day, it's all going to be made clear to us. And whatever happens, God will be there with us. He has promised never to leave us or forsake us. In fact, he makes that promise, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So we don't know what 2005 holds, but God does, because he's sovereign, and he's promised to go through the year with us. Well, this morning, what I'd like for us to do is to look at a verse in the book of Isaiah. It's actually in Isaiah chapter 53 that will lead us to consider some things that will encourage us as we enter the year 2005. I want us to think a little bit about some of the certainties that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. What a tremendous verse. Verse 12 is really a series of statements linked together, each one of which is very profound, each one of which is worthy of multiple sermons. Think about it for a moment. I will divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. He hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many. He made intercession for the transgressors. Tremendous truths, all linked together in one verse. Well, it's way more than we want to consider this morning. What I want us to do is I want to lift from verse 12 one little phrase and focus in upon that. And it's the phrase, he shall divide the spoil with the strong. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. Well, what exactly did Isaiah have in mind when he, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned these words? What was he thinking about? Well, it's likely that Isaiah was referring to a time known as the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, a time when Christ will return to earth as the great warrior king, having defeated the beast and the armies of the kings of the earth prior to establishing his millennial reign here on earth. We read a little bit about that in the book of Zechariah. Hold your place and we'll just look for briefly at Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 1. This, I would suggest, is what Isaiah had in mind when he wrote about how he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Verse 1, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Verse 14, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. In great abundance. What we have here is a picture of a triumphant military conquest. And it would picture the day in which the Lord Jesus Christ, having vanquished every enemy of God, having vanquished every foe, shares the plunder, the spoils of victory with the troops, probably the mighty men of Judah that are spoken of in verse 14 of Zechariah 14. He shares in the victory over the nations that are converging upon Jerusalem to battle. That's the image that we have here, dividing the spoils with the strong in that day when he comes back at his second coming to undertake for the nation of Israel. But you know, it's hard to read those words and not be mindful of yet another battle, an even greater battle. In fact, the greatest battle of all time, and that's the battle that was fought over your soul. It wasn't in Europe, it wasn't in Asia, it wasn't in Africa. That battle was fought outside the city of Jerusalem about 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary. And it was the battle of the ages, the greatest battle ever fought. And in that battle, the Lord Jesus Christ was the mighty conqueror. He was victorious. We read in Ephesians 4 that he led captivity captive that day. And today, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, you're on the winning side. And you share in the spoils of victory. He shares, by his grace, he deigns to share the spoils of his victory at Calvary with you and I. Just as he'll, in a coming day, share the spoils of victory with the mighty men of Judah that assisted him in that great battle, the Battle of Armageddon. I want us to think this morning about some of the spoils of victory that the Lord Jesus Christ shares with you and I. Things that we have to be certain of. Things that we can take with us as we go into the year 2005. I've got about seven things that I want to mention, and I've got several verses in connection with each one of these, and I'm not going to take time for us all to turn together, but just read these verses to you because most of them are pretty familiar to you. And the first thing that I would like to suggest that the Lord Jesus Christ, as a result of his mighty victory at Calvary, deigns to share with us the spoils of victory, I would like to suggest to you that the first thing that he shares with us is his very life. His very life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 10, speaking of the Lord Jesus, it says, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. You as a Christian live together with him. Colossians 3 and verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is our life, and we live together with him. The song that we sang a minute ago, I get the chills every time I sing that song, all the way my Savior leads me, because it takes me back to, I think it was in 1981 at Scotland Bible Conference. One of the speakers there was a man that was affiliated with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, a man named Roy Gustafson. And he shared one night about the privilege that he had to be in China and to meet with a man. It was a well-known preacher of the gospel, that was incarcerated for his faith in Christ. And this Chinese preacher spent 26 years in a prison cell that wasn't big enough to lie down in. He slept on a hard floor in a fetal position because there wasn't enough room for a Chinese man to even stretch out. 26 years of this. And finally he was released. And Roy Gustafson went to this man. He was a bit in awe of him, as any of us would be. And he said, "What have you got to say after 26 years in a prison cell for your faith in Christ?" And he started quoting, "All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercies, who through life has been my guide?" Whew. Part of the spoils of victory is that we don't have to go it alone. He's promised to be with us. We live together with him. He shares his very life with us. But not only so, he shares his victory over death. You see, his victory becomes our victory. John 14:19, the Lord said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Now, we need to slow down and think about that. Because I live, well, you shall live also. You see, the Lord died that day, but he rose again. And he lives, according to the writer of Hebrews, in the power of an endless life. And because he is alive and seated at the right hand of God, did you know that's your only hope for heaven? He says, "Because I live, well, you shall live also." His victory over death 2,000 years ago becomes our victory over death. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept." What does that mean? Well, we understand the first part. Christ has risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Well, them that slept, of course, refers to those that are in the grave. And the firstfruits, Christ, the risen Christ, is a picture of the firstfruits. Well, what does that mean? Well, you go back to Leviticus 23, we won't take the time, but you read about the offering of the firstfruits, and it's what Israel was to do when they came into the land. They were to sow their crops, and the first of the crops that began to come up, they were to offer them to the Lord. It was sort of a symbolic way of saying, "Lord, we're gonna put you first. We're going to give you the best, the first. And we're going to trust you for that which is yet to come, for the rest of the harvest." And you see, that's what Christ was. He's risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. His resurrection is a little preview of the harvest yet to come, the harvest of souls. And so his victory over death becomes our victory over death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the great resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He gives us the victory. Now, we weren't there, needless to say. He fought the fight, and he won the battle. But he's decided to share the spoils of victory with you and with me. And that includes victory over death. Death couldn't hold him. And if you're a believer in Christ, well, death won't hold you either. So he shares his very life with us. And he shares victory over death. But not only that, he also shares his image with us. Listen to this, again from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, what does he mean? Well, the image of the earthy is speaking of Adam. The image of the heavenly is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Philippians 3 and verse 21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Romans 8, 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Do you want to know what your predestination as a believer is? There it is. One day, you're going to be conformed to the image of his Son. 1 John 3, 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He shares his life with us. He shares his victory over death with us. And one day he's going to share his image with us. But there's something else that he shares with us, and that's his home. He shares his home with us. Familiar words from John 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Think of that. The Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty victor, the one that led captivity captive, well, he's gone back to heaven, and he's getting it fixed up just for you. He's coming again for you, so that you could be with him, the bridegroom and the bride together. That's how it should be, isn't it? He is going to share heaven with us. Man, can you imagine that? He's going to open his home up to us. I couldn't begin to tell you what that's going to be like. Words fail us all. We can't. Our imagination in the wildest can't even begin to imagine what heaven's going to be like, because it's all about Christ. Because he's going to be there. And by then, we're going to have those brand spanking new glorified bodies. I'm going to have a full head of hair. You won't recognize me up there. I'll tell you what, it's going to be great. He's going to share his home with us. I don't know how it can get any better, but you know it does? He's going to share not only his home, but his very inheritance with us. The spoils of victory. They're sweet, aren't they? He's going to share his inheritance with us. Romans 8, 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Galatians 4 and verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You know, he owns it all. We sing about he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. It's all his. Reminds me of I heard Boyd Nicholson tell a little story one day about being in the grocery store. Of course, he never missed a chance to speak a word for Christ. And I think this must have been in Canada. I don't know, they were selling some kind of lottery tickets. And the lady in front of him was buying this lottery ticket. And she said, you know, I know my chances of winning are just ridiculously low. And she said, you know, I'd be happy one day just to meet a wealthy man. And oh boy, Nicholson turned to her and put his hand out and said, "Put it right there." And he began to tell her about the wealth of his heavenly Father. He owns it all. And he's going to share it with the likes of us? Come on. That's what it says. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. He shares his life, his victory over death, his image, his home, his inheritance. I'm over my head on this next one. He's going to share his glory with us. Now, I'll tell you what. If I didn't believe, I couldn't preach this if it weren't on the pages of the Word of God. It's too good to be true. Well, it's too good not to be. Who would have thought of this? Colossians 3 and verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now you think about that for a moment. That's the purpose of the gospel. Paul is telling us why we were called as believers in Christ. And he says, it's to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We hear the words of our Lord Jesus in John 17 in that upper room, in that high priestly prayer. He says in verse 24, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." There, Christ prays for the day and the hour when those that are his would behold his glory. We're going to appear with him in glory. We're going to behold his glory. And we're called to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I explain something I can't fathom? It's over my head. But it's true. And we'll just have to wait till we get there to really take it in. But he's going to share even his glory. These are spoils of victory. And he's going to divide or share the spoils with the strong, with you and I. But lastly, he is going to share with us in his coming to rule over the world. Now, I'm way, way out of my league here. Coming to rule over the world. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." Did you catch that? "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne." We're going to share his throne with him. Ruined sinners, rebels, enemies of God by nature, and yet reconciled and redeemed and made sons of God and made part of his family, welcomed into his home, sharing in his inheritance. Why, he's even going to slide over a little bit and make room for us on his throne. 1 Corinthians 6, 2, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?" 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us." He shall divide the spoils with the strong. He shares his life with us. He shares his victory over death with us. He's going to share his image with us. He's going to open up his home to us. He's going to share his inheritance with us. He's going to share his glory with us. And he's even going to let us rule with him over the world. Now, these are spoils of victory. And we had no part in it. That's what amazes me. We weren't there. We heard from Psalm 69 this morning. He looked for just one person even to give him pity, one comforter, and it says there was none, who by himself purged our sins, Hebrews 1, verse 3, I think. By himself, he did it alone. He's the only one that could have done it. And even his father turned his back upon himself as the Lord Jesus Christ became the sin bearer. He fought the battle and he won the day. And just like in that coming day in Zechariah 14, where he's going to divide the spoils with the strong and he's going to share some of that plunder we read about with the mighty men of Judah that helped win that battle. We know the Lord really won it, but he's just by his grace, he's going to share the spoils of victory. These are spoils of victory that he won at Calvary, and he's deigned to share them with us. More than I can comprehend. But I'll tell you what, you know what's interesting about every one of these things that's ours by faith in Christ? They belong to us. They cannot be taken away. And none of your or my circumstances can change these things. These are certainties. We don't know what 2005 holds, but we know that every one of these things is true based on the Word of God, and that ought to thrill our soul. None of our circumstances can change any of these things we've thought about this morning. And you know, when I start thinking about these things, and what does the hymn writer say? My thoughts are all confounded whenever I think of thee. It just goes, you know. But I remember something that my father taught me when I was a young boy. And it's so true. It's as true today as it was when he taught me as a young boy. He used to tell me, he said, you know, half of the joy is in the anticipation of it. Isn't that true? I mean, that was true for me as a little kid at Christmas. I mean, I couldn't sleep for weeks before Christmas. It was the joy. I mean, it was the anticipation. What kind of toys am I going to get, you know? And I don't care what it is that you might be looking for. What's the next big thing in your life? Maybe it's a vacation. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's retirement. Whatever it is, it's the anticipation of it. Don't we get a lot of joy out of the anticipation of things that lie ahead that we look forward to? Well, that's half the fun of it, is looking forward to it. Oh, brethren, sisters, have we got something to look forward to? Man, Christ is sharing the spoils of his victory with us. And I trust that these things will thrill our soul, and that we will not just know them in our mind, but they will make that 18-inch trip from our mind to our hearts, and we can go forward into a year of uncertainties, knowing that these things will not change. They cannot be taken from us. And I think that's why they call it the blessed hope. Shall we pray? Our Father, we are thankful this morning that the battle that was fought for our souls was won by the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we recognize this morning that we are on the winning side, and yet we would quickly acknowledge that we did nothing. We contributed nothing to that victory. Father, in fact, it was our sin that put him there. He fought the battle for us. And somehow, our Father, he could say when it was all done that he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And Father, we don't understand that either, how that that we, as the fruits of victory for him, how that he could find satisfaction in us, and yet we believe it by faith. And we're overwhelmed as we think about how he, as the mighty victor at Calvary, would so deign to share the spoils with us, the spoils of victory. And yet our hearts rejoice as we think of what lies ahead. And not only what lies ahead, but what we have here and now. And Father, we are so grateful to belong to thee. We're thankful that we can walk this pilgrim pathway, knowing that we're never alone, never forsaken, and that you are sovereign over all. We pray, Father, as we go into this new year, that we would have a special consciousness of your presence, of your power, of your provision for us. We pray that we might be lighthouses, demonstrating the value of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. We thank you for him. We thank you for what he's accomplished for us and what it means to each one of us. Father, if there's someone here today that's never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we know that none of these things apply to them. They have an altogether different destiny. Oh, our God, we pray thy Spirit would work in their hearts and give them a conviction of sin. Help them to know that the Lord Jesus is the Savior that died for them. Give them the grace to acknowledge their sin before thee and to ask for forgiveness. And may this be the day that person knows the joy of sins forgiven, to know for sure that they're on the way to heaven and that all these spoils of victory will one day be theirs. Father, may it be so, as we ask and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.